Ah, welcome back. Another Wednesday.
Valerie had a funny, lighthearted thing from her Instagram. I thought it was quite cool.
Oh, yeah.
I stole it from another...
Oh, that one, trying to manage all the roles. Yeah, that was brilliant.
Yeah, the Scars of the Lion scar.
Because there's a lot of these wisdoms floating about, and it's one... Memes, a lot of memes floating about. But it's good to kind of practice how to make sense of them, or the parts that make sense, you know what I mean? So you get to develop that.
Oh, good call. Yep.
You know?
Oh, I get you now.
Can you please reread it? Because I saw it today, but I can't remember what it said.
It says, me trying to excel in my career, maintain a social life, drink enough water, exercise, text everyone back, stay sane, survive, and be happy. And it's the lion thing going like...
So is it truth? Is it not truth? Is it helpful? What are people? What are their true parts of it? We all kind of relate. We all had a reaction to it.
Yes.
There's a part that definitely resonates.
I'm going to reshare it. Does that count? So what's the question? Is it correct? Is it wrong? Are we not allowed to have those feelings? Are we allowed to have them but not talk about them?
Yeah, you have a reaction to it. What is that reaction? Is it, you know what I mean? Can you observe your own connection to it?
I think we all had a moment, especially with the texting people back, where it's like, oh God, I really relate to that struggle. So in observing this, we see these responsibilities and we observe them in our own lives and how that they all kind of collectively... altogether bring us a bit of stress and suffering, and it's that acknowledgement of, oh my God, yeah, it's tough, that it sort of makes us laugh. And the goofy picture?
Well, it bonds people, it's a way to bond. So pretty most people who live in like the first world, like modern world society, would laugh at this. So it's like a way that we're kind of all connected in this same suffering. It's kind of reassuring in a way. Like the text people back, it's like nice that all of you guys struggle with that too, because it's not just me.
I'd say that's everybody. Anybody who has more than their family in the contact list and text exchange.
Yeah, I don't know. The part that I found myself laughing at was on their own, each little line is another way to like try and go towards joy and away from suffering. But when you take too many different things on at once, it just gets so overwhelming. And then it makes me laugh at myself for taking every little thing too seriously when really it should just come back to centre. And relax rather than run around all stressful for the next best thing to make my life better.
So it's, if you're too many things, it's like all the things you want, but too many things you want.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is a hassle. I could never possibly do all this.
Yeah, and it just sends you crazy. And then, yeah, I guess we all struggle with it because there's so many different things out there at any one time to make your life better. A new shirt, a new bed, a new car, more water, less water.
Yeah, more career, exercise, more work, more exercise, more rest. More,
like all these different things, and it's just like...
Bend forward, arch your back. I feel like they're opposing ideas. Cool, she's here. She's here.
I had enough of it. I was like, oh, that's definitely me before I started philosophy. Still got those days like that as well. But yeah, caught up in thinking power, taking life too seriously. But now, since turning to philosophy, realised that even if you take all that away, what we get, you know, caught in a rat race, and I lived in a tropical island somewhere, I thought, okay, that'll solve my problems. But then I have other problems. Okay. I can't go swimming the sharks there, or it's a hurricane to ruin my heart, or is the coconuts enough coconuts to find something? So you just got to learn to deal with your situation in a calm way and just observe it. Where before I wasn't, I was that analogy of swimming the river, going, now I just sit in the river a bit more and just observe it. So it doesn't matter what situation, if it's life in Sydney or if you're in the middle of nowhere, you know, the really relaxed life is still, these problems will still pop up, so that's how you observe and deal with them. So yeah, when I saw that, I was like, oh yeah, it's definitely probably triggered something to how far I've come compared to what it was. Mm-hmm. How I was meant to stay back then. And now crash line for philosophy.
Oh, nice.
This island's almost too tropical.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like, oh, if I go to tropical island, that'll fix it all. Yeah. But it's like the power that creates all those problems also goes to that island.
Does anyone have that feeling that they just need to make a change to their life situation and then all the problems will be finished?
Yeah. What is it like, if I could just go back in time and redo my life, all of it would be fine.
Oh, that's
all of it?
Yeah.
I haven't had that one.
I know so much now that I didn't know back then.
I just dominated high school.
Yeah, imagine how good you'd be at high school.
You have a go back in time one. That's even further. Yeah. Yeah. I more have a, like, if I could live in Indo and I didn't have to deal with Sydney, life would be great. But I've got friends who live in Indo and they're like, dude, no, life is way harder here. And I'm like, how? You're in Bali. And he's like, you go to the post office or the RTA in Sydney? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, how long does it take? Is it all right? It's like, that's a bit of a bore. And he's like, here you have to write off an entire day to go and get your visa, because you're going to walk into a bureaucratic environment, take a ticket at 9 a.m. and you might not get served by 5 p.m. You just hang around in the visa office all day, and you just know it's a day trip. Might even be a 2-day trip if things don't go well. He's like, Sydney's a piece of cake compared to Bali.
It's an opportunity to practice patience.
Right?
It's all day.
All day.
All day.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's quite interesting that we all have that feeling. But really, our life's not that bad. What are we running from? Like, too many carbs? Not enough carbs?
We're too popular with messages.
Sydney traffic is just not that great.
I feel like you could rewrite that for like a 16th century peasant being like, me trying to walk all the way to the well and catch the eye of the milkmaiden, and like, you know, I feel like you could put that in any time and you could find like
five things.
Yeah, like trying to, you know,
chop up enough firewood,
yes,
get
exactly,
enough water,
like, and then, yeah, you know,
get married by 20.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Make sure I pass all my dreams before I die at 30.
Yeah, that's old.
20.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Like, no, married at 15. Like, you could totally apply that to any time and be like, you know,
it's a series
put
of
those
things.
List of things, and yeah. For like, yeah, so time, it's kind of timeless,
essentially, like time appropriate versions,
yeah,
of it.
Yeah,
so it's just, yeah, in our nature to just. Those things, that kind of feeling to pop up?
Good question.
It's a good question.
It's kind of like, it's relatable, but isn't it also kind of blind? Because we're all reveling in our own blindness. Like, oh, look how blind you are. Look how blind I am. And we're not doing anything about it. We're just pulling a crazy face. So is it kind of like, is that just the nature of human blindness to be sort of caught in that suffering cycle and not know how to get out of it?
That's a good point. Interesting point. What was John's point again?
Is it our nature just to have that kind of
have a whinge
attitude? Yeah.
Well, interestingly, maybe it's off topic. Sifu said that's why the world loves
the secret.
The singer
Adele.
Oh, yeah. She's emotional, moody.
Complaining. All her songs are complaining, and that's why she said. So when you look at human, that's why she's so popular. It's because it's always complaining. People love complaining.
I was like,
yeah. I was like, ouch.
One is it's in our nature, and one is it's blind. So it's our blind nature to have a whinge, basically, and revel in our own self-pity that my life is so hard.
Mm. No, I was asking, is it in our nature?
No, that's a statement. That's your opinion. You're going to die on that hill. Brooke, put her hand up.
Yeah, I was sort of thinking about the river analogy as well. So, like, rather kind of observing life and what's occurring, it's like you're just stuck in the river and you're kind of like going along with it. So you're just kind of like living blindly within that without actually being aware of like, do any of these things like really matter? Like, is, you know, maintaining social life, like how important is that or whatever? And yeah, I mean, drinking water is probably good. And exercising.
Surviving's a big one too. Being happy, yeah, that's up there.
It should go
up
there.
Pretty good.
A very lukewarm insight. I just said happy comes last in that sentence. I said you put happy at the end. Of course, you'll struggle.
Yes.
And be happy.
Right. Yes, I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah.
Well played. I liked it because it's kind of harmony. We're all going through all that stuff and we all like try and put on a brave face like, everything's great. I'm awesome. Everything's fine. Because if someone goes, how are you? And you go, I just can't keep it together. Like, no one wants to say hi to that guy. There's your social life gone. So you've got to maintain your outlook.
Worry about.
Yeah. Yeah. Scratch social life off the list. And being happy is obviously gone.
I don't have to text those people back.
I just have to drink water now. Yeah.
Just me and my water. And exercise. But the funny thing about it is, it's all relative. So we make it out like it's quite hard. And yeah, it is hard. Like, it's not easy maintaining this style of life. But you compare that to back in the 15th century or whenever you go back in time when you might have had to hunt your own food and you might have had to fight for survival each day. Like, their meme would have been like me and trying to, you know, nurse my wound before it gets infected while still going out on the battlefield. Like, it's a very different time. So we are all whingers, you know. We are all dead to whingers. Hashtag blessed.
Master once gave me a cup of wine, hashtag blessed.
Yeah, so like we're all a little bit precious and weakened now, but at the same time, it's a different kind of stress, so we have a different strength. But the thing it makes me realize is how blind we are to be, that we can't even manage this one eye. For our own ego needs, we can't even manage this one eye. And you've got consciousness who can divide unlimited eye to connect to unlimited life form to teach them wisdom and still remain in joy. And we're all like drinking water, texting people back,
writing lists.
Yeah, writing lists.
Off,
it's a good list. Drink water, text people back, have a social life, be happy. Yeah.
Exercise.
Haven't I missed one?
That's the one.
That's why you need a list.
Where does that go in the list?
But it's like, it's just quite interesting that that's our level, is to even balancing that is already hard. But you have to like laugh at it, because otherwise you go crazy. So you laugh at the fact that we are at that level, and you laugh at the fact that we balance all these things. But you also admit you have that stress inside, because people who are like, I don't find that hard at all, they're the ones that end up being the most unhappy behind closed doors. So the fact that we can laugh about it and try not to bring each other down with it, that's a wisdom. It's like harmony. And the fact that we can be aware we've got that going on inside and laugh about it takes the pressure off inside. Like, oh, okay, I'm going to be okay. I am surviving. I'd just like to point out that today is the longest amount of days in a row consecutively we've all been alive. So,
hey, thanks.
How's the gymnastics one? Last week, I can't remember what brought... How did we get onto Olive having a whinge? How did that kick off?
We were talking about... I think it was a carry on from personal emotion. I think we've sort of been focusing on that and like the no I aspect.
We were talking about how being trapped in I makes us heavy and stressed. And then we asked, oh, that's right. And we just said, someone, can you copy someone who's like, and then he said this. And I was like, I paid last time. It's your time to pay. And he was all like, meh. And I was like, meh. And we make a big deal out of nothing because it's our I, right? So we play the game to get out of it. Do you like that?
That's good.
I deal with people that do that all day. Like for an hour straight, they'll whinge about their life. Like it'll be stuff that you're like...
Along with like an exercise session.
Trying to distract them from the psychology session into exercise, because that's what's going to make them better. But it literally is an hour of me listening to their whinge, because their eye is important and it's their situation. They have to talk about it. It's a mix between that and exercise. It's bafflingly weird, but whatever. So one way we practice no eye is by learning to break our eye habit. You need to have a holiday from your eye, take on a new eye. You can do whatever you want. We can either do an animal and we've got to try and guess it, or you can do you can copy another person. I told you Michelle did horse once, right? Brilliant. Oh. It was brilliant. It was just... mwah. Perfect. You weren't... None of you were there for that.
Oh. I've seen her do horse, but I never saw horse do Michelle.
He can't. He didn't. He did a girl. I don't even know if it was a girl. It was more of like a weird, like he just stood there in this weird pigeon-toed pose, like he was wearing high heels and holding a handbag, but it was weird. Sifu was even like, I don't know, what kind of girls you've been dating before Michelle, but that was strange.
What did Michelle do?
Oh, Michelle, we were like, do something, and she's like, what do you want me to do? And we're like... And Sean Pig goes, do horse. And she looks at Sifu and was like, am I allowed to? He's like, yeah, do horse. And he was like, she was like, okay. She got up and like walked away from us and just went. She got to the end, did a turn and walked back again. Like horse was there in Michelle's body. It was fantastic. It was crazy. Beautiful. But the way you develop that ability is by, one, observing other people, which not everyone's great at. Like we're still learning that ability. And two, dropping your eye and creating a new one. So whenever we've had a blindness that we're trying to get rid of, that's our eye. And the only way to break it is to not have it. So
with a hammer.
With a hammer, chisel, crowbar, blowtorch, sledgehammer. Yeah, you've got to break that and create a new eye. So I'll throw myself in the thing. I have a habit to defend myself when someone attacks me, right? Yeah. So badly. And the only way to break it is when someone attacks me, I have to be like, be vulnerable, Sean. Like, just let it go. You don't have to defend yourself. Just, like, it's a whole new experience for me. Normally, I'm like, I'm going to win. But in that moment, I'm like, no, Sean, you're not going to win. You want to lose. You like losing.
What are those animals that play dead?
Oh, possum. Yeah.
Possum. Maybe they'll go away.
70% of the time, it works every time. But yeah, in those moments when you're trying to change that blindness, that's when you got to drop the eye that you are naturally going to fall into and create a new one. So you all have to create something. I don't care. Go do it. It's got to be different. And we all have to unanimously agree that that was none of your original being in it. So the way you're all sitting and looking at us right now is your 100% your normal eye. 100%. All of it. Even that, 100%. Everyone's doing good. So you're expert professional black belt masters at your own eye. Well done. Well done. Well done. You've worked long and hard. You pass. Now you've got to learn a new style, new form. Yeah. Have you ever like acted out different roles in movies or pretended you're different characters or copied someone? Can you copy someone? Are you laughing because you do or you're imagining me doing it?
One time I was having this like tough time negotiating with this client. And I remember being so ticked off that I went home and like I started like verbalizing the argument I was having and I started playing his part.
Oh yeah.
I was playing my part and I was playing his part and I was like, hold on, I've just spent like 2 hours arguing with myself.
Did you win?
I just got really tired. I was like, no. But I remember like playing his part or trying to play his part. And that's what made me laugh. So I was like, I tried to see if his eye would react to mine. His eyes were both really annoyed at everything. It's like, he's got deadlines, that's why he's annoyed. I'm pushing him because I've got deadlines. We're both annoyed because we've got deadlines.
Yeah, it's the best way to feel someone else's point of view. You argue with yourself on behalf of them. I used to do it when I lived with Sifu to get ready for the argument I knew was coming. And yeah, it's...
Well, is that how you do it?
Well, that's how I started. Mm. And then I got... Yeah. But it gets weird because it can go for hours and hours and... Don't do it too much. You go crazy. I think that's where schizophrenia is born, where you're like...
you also mentioned something one time that I do as well, trying to understand why I can copy their facial expression. Mm. You know, when
feel their
like,
feeling.
Like that. I put that expression on. I'm like, I can feel what she's going through. There's like a girl like staring up at the TV screen. Like, who is? And I was like, she can't find her flight.
Am I in the right home? This furrowed brow, you're like, oh, she's
when you look at her, she's confused.
So does anyone have one they want to demonstrate?
Do you want to give some to people, like animals?
Oh, we can offer one, you can suggest one. Giant Dog once did a stick figure perfectly. He did a stick figure, he just went.
Stick insect.
Oh, yeah. The stick insect was crazy.
Remember that?
It was crazy.
You've never
it's
seen like, someone so tall do that so well.
He's 200 centimetres tall, but the shake.
Yeah, it was perfect.
The shake was like...
He became a stick insect. It was bizarre.
And he got close to the chairs and we all moved back.
Yeah. So weird. Sifu used to play this game. It wasn't as simple as you could choose one. He would tell you what to do. And he got this guy, Tristan, to do an angry drag queen... Who'd like had a fight with someone and he was like, I don't really. And Sifu was like, yeah, do it. Hey, I said, do it. And he like walked away like he was gonna leave and then turned around and was like, I'm like, dude, oh my god. He became like a totally different person and then got to the end of the walk and was like, yeah, I don't want to do it anymore. And Sifu was like, oh, and then Sifu was like, all right, what do you want me to do? And I said, a crazy homeless person. And he was like, really? That's what you want me to do? And we're all like, yeah. And he was like, looked down and then just was like, ah, ah, and like walked around scratching his bum. And I was just like, oh my god. It was so freaky, man. It was like, it scared me. Like, see if he's professional at this game. If he chooses to become something, 100% there. Like, so next time we can nominate stuff now that we're all professional. Do you know why we play these games?
So we get a break from our own eye.
That's one. Break from our own eye that we're trapping. We are commonly trapping. Two.
Not take ourselves so seriously.
Some people would not play this game, and those people are not ready to learn that their eye is illusion. If eye is illusion, then why take it seriously?
Good way to practice observing, so to be whatever you're trying to be, you have to kind of observe what they do.
Got to be aware of it, right?
Yeah.
You're not just aware of it, like watch how it moves, but you actually feel like. The way Jono became the lion, he actually became that calm, confident, like, that's not normally Jono. Jono's normally in the corner, like, awkward when someone looks at him, like, but that's, like, able to look through something and see it as, I could eat you if I wanted to. That's a totally different eye.
Kind of look.
Yeah, it was definitely not Jono. It was not Jono. Like, he kind of ran out of moves. That's why I was like, lick yourself, man. And like John becoming the cat, him on all fours being silly like that, it's not like normally what he would do. So it's like, yeah, it's, and you have to be aware of it, and not just aware of it by eyes, but the feeling of how it is, or how it's being. When you watch other people like that, you'll get a feeling for actually what they're experiencing. It's really different. It's a cool way to observe people. You can understand more layers of why someone is the way they are. That's a good one.
You said something funny about Amy one time. When you said, because like, talking about that she has a lot of fear, but then if you imagine you're quite small, everyone else is larger than you, and you're like, and she has quite small hands as well. And you'd be like, actually, you'd be like, fire out, man.
I was with her in a crowd. I think we were seeing a show or something, and I was like, I can see over everybody. I was like, what's it like down there? And I got down and I was like, oh, this sucks.
This sucks.
Like, you're literally looking at asses. Like, you're at ass level. And if anyone, like, if someone fell, you're done. Like, you are so small. At my height, if someone falls, I can, like, step to the side and they fall, or I can catch them. But at her height, it's like, it's like a building falling on you. So, yeah, when you feel someone else's perspective, like Jono did with his work friend, when he argued on behalf of him, he was like, he's got a deadline. That's why he's got the shits. And I've got my deadline. That's why we're ramming heads. So when you both come from that, you can say to them, look, I know you've got this deadline, or I know you're in this situation. They're like, I am in that situation. You're like, totally. Let's get you out of that situation. Let's get you out of this situation. You'll find no conflict if you can do that. If you can start a conversation like that, less conflict, much less conflict. Some people still some conflict, but less.
It's quite a good way to diffuse a situation. I had a client a couple of months ago who was just blowing up. He was just like, not normal, rational conversation, just like blowing up. And then I was like, oh, I don't want to have to deal with this because I have to go back. The situation's not resolved. And he starts blowing up and I'm like, I'm angry. And he's like, I'm angry too. I said, we're both angry. He's like, I said, I'm angry about the situation just as much as you are. And he's like, what? It's like in that moment, that angry character with another angry character, you get nowhere. So he was like kind of shocked. And I was like, I'm angry at this whole process. We actually need to fix this. Like, we're on the same side. And he's like, we are on the same side. So it's within, like, if you... But when I came in defensive mode, I'm just like, you're basically just taking shots and firing back. But if you can switch mode or copy them, all of a sudden it breaks that mold.
Yeah.
So it was like, actually, once... you don't want to be two people angry in a room, especially if you're angry over the same thing. Oh, now we're not enemies. Now we're on the same side. So it was like, the first meeting, spent 2 hours, couldn't do it. I tried halfway, it was kind of insincere, but as soon as I walked in, I just flicked it and I was like, oh, great, the situation diffused. So it's like, oh, we're working together, great, high fives. And it's just like, this is much better. I just keep rolling with it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I think you have it in relationships as well. I think, as you know, you can, whether it's with family or friends or with your partner, you can create a similar style or a similar character. You know, if life is a theatre, you play the same character on stage all the time, and that can be boring.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
You know, someone always plays the centre of attention, or then everyone else kind of has to play the audience. But that person all of a sudden decides to put someone else centre of attention, then that gives other people kind of freedom to play another role. Like, we all know people, like, I can think of many people, like, have to be the centre of attention, and that's boring because the spectator's not a great role to play on stage. Like, you're doing great. You know what I mean? It's a kind of limited role. Yeah. Everyone be quiet and watch me do stuff. You're like, again. Yeah. You know? So it can be fun. You're kind of, you're taking a real life and, you know.
So I see everyone will sit up the front of class and occasionally he'll want to break and he'll go, oh, I was talking to this person the other day. Everyone look at them. And everyone's like, what? And he's, yeah, trying to look at them. He just does that to have a break. Give them the spotlight. Let them feel awkward. Be like me going, everyone look at Daniel. Daniel's going to tell us all about his Tai Chi today.
Hey, Daniel.
Entertaining, frustrating, and productive.
Can Daniel do it from here? I feel like Daniel should do it from here.
Yeah, comes out the front.
Yeah, Daniel.
So relaxing back here.
Yeah.
It feels so
It is like
it's different up there, right? Right, I'll show you something really cool. Check this out. So believe it or not, I'm actually scared of speaking in public. I'm not actually great at it. This is a new eye I've learned over the last X amount of years, indeterminate amount of time. Because when I first did it, I got scared. I didn't like it. I'm good at 1-on-1, 2-on-1, anything more than 3, and I don't know where to look. But you get better at it over time. But it is scary up here. Anyone else want to come and try and sit up here and teach us some philosophy or something?
Anyone could do it, really. You just have to put a bit of... You need to apply a little bit of skills. Yes?
I have negative feelings and I can't get rid of them.
Well, Tim, unfortunately, I'm not qualified to answer that question, but I can refer you to someone after class.
Referral.
Yeah, yeah, a referral. There are areas that I can answer. Lots of general knowledge. General knowledge about random things. Yeah, I used to teach English in Chile to people the same age as me, so it's really hard to get them to listen to me because they were all scared of making mistakes in English. And I understand because it's embarrassing when I'd make mistakes in Spanish. So I'd have to come up to the classroom and like purposely make mistakes to make them feel better. And then we'd all laugh about it. And then I'd ask them a question and they'd all give me the answer they think I want to hear. Oh, it was really... I would be like... I asked them, like, if you could travel anywhere in the world, where would you want to go? And they all said Australia. And I was like, I'm not trying to, like, recruit you to Australia. Like, you can answer anything. Like,
you're all setting up.
Yeah, I was like...
Just bring me an apple and get it done.
Yeah, I was like, oh.
Give me an A, give me an A.
So then I had to be, for some of the people, like, you can't say, like, these three countries, because everybody just said it. And I was like, you know, there's a whole world.
But Australia's pretty cool. You are very comfortable up there.
Well,
yeah. Okay. Well, that didn't work. You ruined that game.
I don't know. There is a difference, I think, when... because I can teach a whole group of children. That's not a problem. So used to that every day. But to sit in front and teach something where... like a philosophy where you're trying to apply it to practical daily life, I think that's be very different. Because it's not like a knowledge. Like I have... my warm-ups, this and that, a set thing, that's... but this is something totally different.
100%, yeah.
Freestyle. So it's, yeah, and you have someone who asks a question and it's not like you can refer to your book that says, ooh, how do I get rid of negative emotion?
Sure, I'm distracting when I look up.
Keep going. Hey, look at me, keep going, keep going. Oh, I am here.
No, Wi-Fi.
Are you ready?
I'm out of credit.
Use my phone. being in this is very different, and this kind of wisdom, it's why it's so nice to have someone to do it with, because you can't answer just from mind. Because if when you ask a question, if I can't feel joy from the philosophy that I connect to, it's like I don't know, and I'll have to say I don't know, and I'll ask Sifu, because if deeply in my heart I can't observe it and get a calm, joyful, satisfied, content feeling, it's like the answer I have isn't real. It's not true philosophy. At least it's not complete. So, yeah, it is, as very well said, it's much easier to sit up here and teach something that you know from mind really well. But to stand in front of a group of people and share an ability is awesome. Don't get me wrong. It's really joyful. But it's challenging at first. And it takes a little while to get to know it. Because when you're here, only what you know deeply from your heart can really come out. You can't, like, sit here and make up stuff. Like, that does not work. Especially you guys are sharp now. Like, if I try to make something up, you guys will be like, whoa, 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 whoa. You said this. Sifu said that. The philosophy says this. What are you talking about? You know, I would never... And it's horrible karma to do that. So we're in a pretty... balancing act where you've got to be honest, try to be joyful, not have your personal... kick people's asses, but in a way they can handle it. And, yeah, not misquote or misrepresent a philosophy that you deeply respect. It's quite challenging.
Mm.
So, yeah, well done, Tim.
I think as well that difference is... because you say it's easy to be here. And that's one part of it, for sure.
Easy to talk, not to teach philosophy.
Yeah, and there's a difference between talking and teaching. Mm-hmm. Because to teach, you have to really feel the other person. But you're here nervous, so you're also feeling a lot of... my own personal there, and it's not just feeling one person. You've got to feel everyone in the room and their level, and then I might have an answer, but how to explain it in a way that everyone can connect to and relate, because everyone in this room learns slightly different and have different strengths, and to do that on the fly while you're still talking is super challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's why, like Sean said, if you don't know that philosophy really deeply, if you're like, I've got a sentence and I know it, that sentence won't appear how you want it to, and then you'll be like, oh. So it's easy just to go, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know.
It's way easier. I don't know.
Yeah.
Does anyone have a phone? You want to look up the blog? Thanks for the blog, by the way. That thing is so helpful. But yeah, being able to feel an answer for everyone in the room is a big one, because sometimes we have new students and we throw it out to you guys, and the way you answer, I can feel that the way we talk, the way we use language is very different to how most people are used to speaking. So when your answer comes out, if you're not using ordinary human language that they can connect to get the message across, it's almost like you're not answering it for them. You know what I mean? And that's the hard part, is actually being able to relate material to everyone in the room. That's a seriously crazy wisdom. It's one I'm learning. It's hard.
And it's like, and see if we can take it to another level where we'll turn it into like poetry about nature or the universe. Or I think I was sharing one the other day about like drops, raindrops on the windscreen, and how we're like, and you just like, not only do you know the philosophy, not only are you using a second language, you turn it into an example that describes life from more angles that I'm aware of, just automatically while you're driving.
Off the cuff.
Yeah, off the cuff while you're driving. And he's like, man, there's a lot of traffic today. And like from the clouds, we come, you know what I mean? It's just so deep on automatic. You're like, cool, there are many, many levels to go. Quite humbling.
And there's a saying, whatever you connect to is what you become. And in every moment, unless we are connecting to philosophy, we are connecting to our blind eye. So the real reason we play this game is just at least for one moment, can we not be our blind eye, but choose to create an eye? Because I was observing the other day, last night actually, I had Father's Day lunch with my dad. And I always think I'm pretty free of my family karma because I moved out quite young. I don't really see them that much. But then I was observing so many of the characters that I like take as important, like, you know, be a good friend, caring, responsible. I was like, oh shit, that's my dad. I just copied my dad and did it in my own weird way with a mix of my mind. Like, come on, man. I realized that how much of your actual being is purely you. You know, have you ever stopped and observed how much of it is actually truly you, not the byproduct of all the people and friends and family in your life? You know, some of us are like 70%, 80% our family like input. Can you seriously like look at it, have a think about it? You might have parts of you that strays from your family that's extremely the opposite to them, but a big part of who you are, why you are, how you are is directly related to all that cause and effect.
And I'd also argue if you go the extreme opposite, it's because you're so like, I'm not going to be like my dad. So you end up being, oh well, you're still driven by that.
Yeah, it's still influence you. Yeah, fully. Like for me to like surfing, it's like, yeah, to me that seems awesome. And I met this guy today. He's going to like come learn Tai Chi. Professional motorbike jump guy. He broke his leg jumping on a thing. And I told him, oh, my martial art teacher. And he was like, martial art, do you learn Tai Chi? And I was like, I teach Tai Chi. And he was like, oh, mate, Tai Chi's been coming at me from everywhere. I've got to learn it. I was like, you sound awesome. But he was like, you ever read Dan Millman's Way? And I was like, Way of the Peaceful Warrior? He's like, yeah, I'm good to that book. I was like, it's awesome. And he was like, yeah. So where do you teach it? I'm coming to learn it. I was like, sweet. But it dawned on me that the reason I probably think surfing's cool is because I grew up near the ocean. But if I grew up out in the middle of the country where the ocean was so far away and the coolest kids in town rode dirt bikes, guess what I'd probably be hell-bent on doing?
Motocross,
bro. I'd be wearing Fox and like...
So many broken bones.
It's like your surrounding, your family, your friends, past life karma, we can't even observe it. That's what's driving our influences. And the only thing that breaks that pattern of cause and effect is philosophy. Whether it be Tai Chi, martial art, Buddhism, Taoism, or sharing time with the group, that is our only chance of breaking our blind karma. We never stop and observe it and realize it because some of them are good. And we're like, oh, I'm good. People think I'm good. I got friends. It's great. I've got a whole bunch of people I got to text back and I'm succeeding in life. I drink all this water. I'm great. But that causation and karma doesn't go anywhere except more temporary blindness, suffering. And you stay in that. The only way out of that is to connect to philosophy, connect to Tai Chi, Taoism, Buddhism, and Amitabha system. Because without them, we can only break it for a second and it's hard. Look how long it took some of us to fire up and be like, come on, man, do it. I'm going in.
Wait, come back to me.
Yeah, can you go around and come back to me? Like, it's not the easiest thing to do to break that eye, even for a moment in front of friends. Like, you know, so that's one of the main reasons we practice this game, is because without these kind of causations, why would we? Remember Sifu said once, where does cause and effect come from? Where does causation come from? And everyone tried to answer, or this, that, and the other. And he said, oh, okay, I'll give you the answer. Firstly, it comes from me asking the question.
That's right.
Because at 5 o'clock on a Sunday, what would you be doing if I didn't have you here and ask you this question? You wouldn't be talking about causation.
He ripped us all.
Yeah, he gave us a little... It's like, true. Yeah.
We're like, oh, constant bond. Like, whatever.
Doesn't come from anywhere. It's already there.
Yeah.
The system of life. Everything's cause and effect. So technically, it doesn't actually come from anywhere. But...
That's right. Everyone got cut down. Okay.
But actually, it comes from me asking that question because on your own, you don't stop to observe what is life. You just live. And we have a feeling of what I think life should be and how I want my life to be. So we create and we create and we create and we act and act and interact and create and build more blind karma without ever stopping to observe what is life, essence, how does it work, function, and what do I want to create? What do I deeply want? Goal. Essence, function, goal. Romani's used that a lot this week, haven't you? came up in your course.
Yeah, so we were learning this design thinking technique, which is clearly just a simplified version of it. So instead of essence, function, goal, it's what, how, why. So you can apply that to any, like, you know, so what is it? Like, you know, all the different parts. How does it function? Why did it come to, like, why does it exist? Designed? Yeah. So, which I thought was really cool when they were going through it. I instantly got it because I was like, oh my God. Essence, function, goal. But I didn't say it out loud.
Yo, teach, I got this.
Yeah. I didn't say it to anyone because I was like, oh, like, I just didn't think I'm weird. Like, no.
Please pick me, I'm ever so smart. Yeah. So, what we need to do is spend more time observing self being to, like, clean out blind habit, clean out negativity, and observe suffering and observe why is it there? How did it appear? How did I create it? And how can I fix it? You know, rather than trying to find that magical place on earth where we're going to feel great, like Bali or Indo or some paradise, anywhere, you know, we have this feeling of, like, when I get to there, then I'll be fine, right? That's the illusion. Actually, we should be fine here. We should have what's called internal pure land everywhere we go. That's how Hell Bodhisattva can go down into the scariest universe and teach the most hell karma consciousness how to get out of that suffering. Because internal pure land remains. No matter where that consciousness goes, stays in pure joy, stays in Dharma joy, wisdom and compassion for eternal heart never breaks. That's the kind of power we need to develop and build. And we start with straight center. Can I build my straight center at least once a day? What do we say? Once a day. Three times a week?
Yeah. Once a day.
Once a day.
At least a minute of Phoenix, surely.
Let's make that a discipline. Once a day. Practice straight center. I don't care if you're driving in the car and you're like, la 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 la. Cool? Once a day. Discipline. 15 minutes every day. You've got to connect to that center charge feeling philosophy. And that way when you come here to train Tai Chi in front of someone, you've got your 15 minutes already under you. You're like, yes, watch me move it now.
It's interesting you're talking about all the causation that comes, you know, that we think, like, we came up with it, like, I choose to be how I am. Well, actually, you know, it comes from mum, dad, it comes from my surroundings. There's a recording on the SoundCloud, there's a post called the Definition of Heart. And Sifu...
You asked that question. Brooke was the causation in that class that made me ask that question that led to that recording.
That is one of my favorites because he basically strips it back and there's a beautiful, it's quite a good one if you want to sit and kind of meditate to it, because he says when you strip back all the causation, all what you think you are, if you can take away everything you've collected this life back to who you were when you started, then you're awake. And for the first time, you understand who you truly are. And I would.
Can you repeat that?
Sure. If you take away your name, if you take away male, female, where you're born, nationality, your friends, your connection, your job, take away everything you own.
Desire, passion, emotion, thinking, all of it.
Everything, all your feelings and experiences you accumulated in your life, if you take away all of that, what's left? When you go back to that memory, it's still there underneath all that, and that's who you truly are. And you can feel that and connect to that, then you have a moment to be awake and find out who you truly are.
And that moment is called back to essence. When you reach it successfully, you feel joyful because your essence has no suffering. Suffering comes because we search for something. We want to find ourselves. We want to understand what is life. So that I searching is what creates all the stress, all the suffering. But actually, when you strip all that back and go back to that essence, before the searching, before the discomfort, before the curious, not understand something, it's peaceful. It's really joyful. But it's so different to our natural eye.
And that's a space where you, if you can connect back to it, I mean, we should, I mean, that's what we're told, to at least one moment a day connect back to essence, even for a moment, because from that moment you can do a couple of things. You can create a new will, create a new direction, you can bow, you can, you're free at that moment, you're like a fresh canvas to actually go, forget all the blind karma, I'm back to pure, what do I really want for my life? And Sifu can do this pretty much every second. It's almost like he's never out of it. But we struggle to do like 1 second a year or a month or, you know. So, that's that class for me really touched my heart because I was like, cool, that's the difference. That's what I need to train.
He said to me once, we did like some meditation and he talked and talked and we went into that really like back to essence, blank, empty. And he was like, in this emptiness space, you're not searching for anything. You're not worried about anything. You're not... there's no I, there's no nothing. He said, I use this to reobserve my life and observe where I waste my power, where I'm off my path, where I'm not aware of the true value of life. And he said, then I reorganize and enter back into my illusion eye with this new awareness and have a new wisdom, new discipline, create new levels of how I'm going to exist. If it's going to be an illusion and I'm going to exist in that illusion, I'm going to exist for a meaningful purpose. I'm going to exist for a wise purpose. And I'm going to bring some good and share something because there's nothing to get. Anything you try to get and hold, you're going to lose and you're going to feel suffering when you lose it. So you might as well be there to share. And share something? Share what? The most valuable thing of all. Share wisdom. Share joy. Because anything else you share is going to come back negative. So I was so cool. He like used that to go back into his into. Then you go, and I did it. I was like, full went back into my body. I was like, I'm gonna do stuff better. I don't know what, but better.
Can't you like unplug for a second and then you're
have
like,
you tried that. Turning it off and turning it on again?
Fully.
So that's why we play these games. Well done.
Cool.